down. All right, we'll be in Luke chapter 6, our beginning of chapter 6 this morning. And we're just going to cover the first five verses this morning. And we'll read those right now. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus, answering them, said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And so as we begin this portion of our lesson, this Luke chapter 6 has quite a lot of things in it. And the Sabbath comes up about 18 times in the book of Luke. And we find a couple of mentions of it here in chapter 6. And I thought it would be good to review back a little bit about what we learned in chapter 4 when we looked at our first lesson on the Lord of the Sabbath. And that, remember, he went into Capernaum, and that name Capernaum meant a walled city, a city of comfort, comfortable walls, and kind of gave us the idea of how we are in nature, in our natural self. We're comfortable there, and how it said he went in on Sabbath days and taught them. And then we went into our series on astonishing doctrines of the very things that he taught them concerning himself. And we looked at a couple in Luke and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them the things concerning himself, and in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And that's kind of been our guideline on the Old Testament. All the scriptures are telling us something about Christ. And so this Sabbath becomes very important because it's the essential gospel of the finished work of Christ. And today's lesson comes to us, this part that Jesus quotes here is from 1 Samuel chapter 21. But we're going to focus a little bit on the Sabbath first, just to make sure that our understanding is clear on that, and that we learned that he taught on several Sabbaths, and indeed, as we get to chapter 6, verse 6, it said, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And so, a common thing there, and so, we looked at some of the things that he typically taught, and the purpose of the Sabbath was to set aside a time to reflect on the finished work of Christ. This finished work was so important. It came to us from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5. We read, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested. That Hebrew word Shabbath, from where we get Sabbath, on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested, it means he had ceased from all his work which God created and made. And we learned that, God, his his work of everything was finished. We had the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world in eternity. The purpose and will of God, everything was by his design. And if we read on further in Genesis, we found that he created every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb in the field before it grew. And so it is with the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. It was in the mind and heart of God from all eternity. the thing that would be the satisfaction, the thing that would be the redemption of the people that he gave Christ in the covenant of grace. And it was all finished. And the purpose of the Sabbath was for man to reflect on this finished work of the Lord and to celebrate this primary element of the gospel, and that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It is finished. And there was nothing left to be done by anyone. He had taken care of it all. The finished work satisfied God the Father, and that alone, and nothing else but the finished work of his own Son. As I love that song, nothing could for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, there's no other thing that satisfies God, and we get the news that he's satisfied by that from Isaiah 53:11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, I looked that word satisfied up in my Webster's online dictionary this morning, and sometimes it gives the idea of that a requirement has been met and nothing more needs to be done. If you go to the bank and get a loan and you pay that loan off, the requirement of that debt is satisfied and you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to pay anymore. You don't have to do anything else. If you're hungry and you go eat a big meal, your appetite is satisfied. You don't need to eat anything else. You're full. You're satisfied. And so this satisfaction of God is so important, because he is satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son on behalf of the people, and that they should enter into the rest of that sacrifice, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4. He that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10 there. And so the Sabbath was very important from a spiritual standpoint, and to impress on everyone the seriousness of relying totally on Christ for salvation. In Exodus 31:15, it says, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh it is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So anybody that does a work that negates the finished work of Christ, it equals death. Works equals death. It's a pretty plain formulation there. The spiritual application is very plain. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but those ways are the ways of death, the way of works. And from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And so it's emphasized this, the spiritual nature of the Sabbath, and you know, it's interesting from our lesson in Habakkuk from our pastor in verse 5 of chapter 1, where the Lord says, you know, I'll work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And that's what this Sabbath is telling. It's telling the gospel, and yet it's just not believable until the Lord exercises sovereignty in your life and breathes into you the breath of life and regeneration. And so as we look in this chapter here, this true purpose of the Sabbath, here taught by the Lord of the Sabbath, was to rest in the finished work of Christ. And yet, there's so much more here. And, you know, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, said the Sabbath was a shadow of things to come, a declaration of Christ. And he said, let no man judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of the holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And what we find going on is that the ceremony itself, the legalism of the Sabbath, became the central thing. It became more important than what it represented. It became, the doing of it became more important than recognizing who it was even about. And as we see here, the Pharisees, the legalists, they're so upset because Christ is doing something on a Sabbath day, or he's allowing something to be done on a Sabbath day, or he's not stopping something that shouldn't be done on a Sabbath day, and they're always waiting for him as we get into this next block of scripture in chapter 6, they were waiting to see what he would do on the Sabbath day so they might have something to accuse him of. And it's sad that that was their aim. Their aim was not to look at, it's funny that it says, well, you people that are sick and have diseases and demons and stuff, there's 6 days for you to come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day though. The very day where they should be entering into the total reliance on Christ for salvation. Nope, can't do it on that day, but the other 6 days is fine. It's like they paid no attention to what's actually being done that shows who Christ was. But it's just all about the day. And it's something that religion gets kind of caught up in. You know, I always like what our pastor says. Hey, you know, if we couldn't get together and worship the Lord on Sunday, well, we'd do it on Monday, or we'd do it on Tuesday, or sometimes we do it on Wednesday, sometimes we do it on Friday. But it's not the day that's so important as what we do. It's the praising and thanking God for what he has done. Not the specific day of the week or the month or the moon that we do it in. And so with that, we come to this next segment here, in this instance where we have such a sweet picture of the grace of God as Christ and the disciples move through this field ready to harvest. It says, they went through the cornfield. Well, it's not really corn. The other night we had corn on the cob. It's not really corn like that. It's a grain. It's in the strong. If you look that up, it would just be a standing field of grain. And likely it was this time of year, it would have been a barley grain harvest. It would have been the first fruits again. And we'll look at that in a moment, but remember it says in verse 1 there, this was the second Sabbath after the first. And so this would have been from the Feast of Weeks and the first fruits harvest that's talked about in the Old Testament there. And so, and as we read in this passage of scripture, we find these legalist religious folks entirely absorbed in the works of the law, and as Christ said in Matthew 23, they were omitting the weightier matters of the law, the judgment, the mercy, the faith, and focusing entirely on just the legal physical part of it. And So they went through this field of grain, and certain of the Pharisees said unto them, "Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" Well, they weren't supposed to do any servile work on the Sabbath day, but certain things were allowed that had to be done, and the Lord brings that up to them all the time. Well, what if one of your livestock gets away on the Sabbath day? You're going to go out and find it, and you're not going to condemn anybody to death for going out and finding their lost sheep. And he says, he talks to these legalists, and he says, "Haven't you even read the scriptures? haven't you read this? You're so caught up in what the Moses said. Well, what's it say in Samuel? It says, have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they were with him?" And you know, those who were tasked with reading the scriptures, and as our job is to declare the gospel that's contained in them there as much as we can see. And we're always looking for Christ in them, because he said, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we just have to go from that basic point that he's there, and we just have to pray that he reveals himself to us in them. And so they were tasked with the reading of the scriptures and the declaring the gospel to the people. And they, no doubt, they'd read these in the physical sense, but they didn't have much of an understanding given to them of the deep spiritual truths contained therein. And have you not read so much as this? And then and now, the ceremony was more important than what it represented. And as this Old Testament illustration that the Lord refers to gives us the case of David, who was a type of Christ. We have some showbread explained to us, which was by law was 12 loaves of bread, ceremonial bread that was set apart for the service of God in the tabernacle. And every week they took those loaves out and put 12 new loaves in, and the priest got the old bread. And at this time they would have been worshiping in the tabernacle that is talking about in 1 Samuel chapter 21 is where this comes from. And let's just read those six verses it talks about from 1 Samuel chapter 21. "Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, 'Why art thou alone and no man with thee?'" And you remember, if you remember back from our studies in Samuel from our pastor, that Saul was out to get David, and Jonathan, his son, was a friend of David, and they had parted just before this. And Saul was trying to kill David, and David was kind of on the run, and Ahimelech the priest says, why art thou alone and no man with thee?" And I think he had some men with him, but they just weren't in there with him at this point, but they were along. But David, he kind of tells a little lie here, but it's kind of like Joseph. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive, kind of a thing. You know, David says, "Well, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, 'Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place.'" Well, Saul didn't even know where he was. He was trying to find out where he was so he could off him. But isn't that a picture of Christ? "The king hath commanded me a business." Remember, Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." And he was always about that. And so now in verse 13 of chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me five loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There's no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread." And then he, He says, okay, we have some bread, but here's a religious thing. Here's a rule. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women, and David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a common manner, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So it kind of lets us know that there were some men with him, and the priest says, well, you can have some bread, but you must be circumcised. You can have the bread of life, but you must be circumcised. And kind of more religious rules that they try to impose. And so the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread, the bread of life, that was taken from before the Lord, put hot bread in the day when it was taken away, or they replaced it every week with new bread. And so a picture of the bread of life and the need for it, but the kind of being blocked by religious foolishness there. And Jesus said, this is the bread that come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And it's interesting in Matthew's account of this same scripture that we're reading here in Luke, and Matthew chapter 12 and verse 3, that he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? They had duties to proclaim it every day there in the temple, and yet technically, if they looked at it the same way they looked at everything else, that would have been a violation of the Sabbath rules. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. It's kind of the same thing he said before. You omit the weightier things of mercy and justice and faith and focus on the physical things. It's not the ceremony, but the true picture of the gospel of the finished work of Christ. And that God was satisfied by that. And you know, there's another level of instruction here. As you know, it's always interesting with the Lord. He says something, and as you peel back, kind of like peeling back the onion, there's just layer after layer after layer after layer thing. There's always more to him than we imagine. He's more magnificent than we can imagine. He's more wonderful. From our lesson on the rainbow, the manifold wisdom of God was, we can only see like the seven primary colors, but there's like an infinite amount of colors. That's a picture of His grace. And so as we look at this second level of, in what I'm getting out of it anyway, this Luke brings to our attention, he's the only one that mentions this fact here. This gospel is recorded in Matthew and Mark also, but Luke is the one that brings it to our attention that it was that second Sabbath after the first when this episode takes place. And it's significant because it brings to our attention the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits. What a picture of these disciples. He's about to call some of them out to be apostles here a little bit later in this chapter. They're going through this field ready to harvest, and they're plucking some of the grain, and they're rubbing it between their hands to get rid of the hull, the chaff of it. And they would They could just like blow in their hand, and the husk part would blow away, and there would be the grain would be left in their palm, and they could munch that down. You'd have to munch a lot of wheat to satisfy yourself. But anyway, Luke brings us to our attention. It was likely the barley harvest. It was a feast of first fruits, and this was brought up in Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 9. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then shall you bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And you shall count down unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete." So there would have been 7 Sabbaths. And then following that would have been Pentecost. The 50th day would have been Pentecost. And we could read about that in Acts chapter 2, or chapter 1 and 2. And they had to offer the lambs for sacrifice, and at the end of it it says, "And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it will be a holy convocation unto you, that you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings for generations," a Sabbath. And so we had this second Sabbath after the first. We have the Lord leading His disciples through this grain field ready for harvest. And it won't be long here. Hopefully we'll be heading off to Eastern Oregon to go do some hunting. And I'm always amazed when we go over that way. We just go through millions of acres of, it seems like, of wheat, just as far as the eye can see. And I was reading this morning that in last year Oregon planted 740,000 acres of wheat. And they get about 68 bushels per acre, and you get about 90 loaves of whole wheat bread from a bushel. So that'd be about 6,120 loaves of bread from an acre of wheat times 740,000 acres. That feeds a lot of folks. That's pretty impressive. And for refined flour, for white bread, it's about half that much. They get about half the amount of bread out of it for white bread. But wheat bread, they get about 90 loaves per acre. So imagine that compared to these guys going through this field, and they just grab a handful of wheat heads and stroke them off there in their hand, and then rub them together, and they get little tablespoon, maybe a grain in their hand, and just the picture of the Lord, the bread of life, and they're separating these ears in their hands and separating the chaff from the wheat. And I think in our previous lesson we read from Jeremiah chapter 23. And he's talking about kind of a similar set of circumstances. You got here in this case, you have the Pharisees that are saying, "This is legalism. This is what you're not supposed to do. This is religion. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. Here's all the rules. And if you do all that, then you get some measure of self-righteousness. You get some measure of supposed self-salvation through it," and it's just a lie that they were perpetrating on the people there. And in Jeremiah 23, he's saying the same thing. There's these prophets are out there telling lies. And he says, "What is the chaff to the wheat? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, 'He saith.'" And that's what they're doing here. They're missing the spiritual application of it. But they're saying, "Well, Moses said, don't do this, and don't do that." And So they're teaching the wrong thing there, and they eat of it, as David illustrated. It was bread set apart for the service of God, and as they go through there and pluck here some and there some, and they're just kind of wandering through it, just kind of reminds me of the way the gospel is. You know, the gospel call goes out everywhere, and here comes a stalk of wheat, here comes one over here, that chaff of the old religion is rubbed off. That chaff of self-righteousness gets rubbed off by the gospel, blown away, and what's left is the bread of life and the gospel. And so they go through there, and remember in our study in chapter 5, he was gathering up those disciples and took them out in that boat and said, throw down your net. And they threw over the net, and he says, and get ready for a draught. Get ready for a haul. And then later on he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to be instrumental in declaring the gospel and bringing in the sheep, bringing in the people of the Lord. And so launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a haul. And it kind of reminded me of what it says in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9 verse 35 through 38. And we'll close there for today. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I think that's just a spiritual picture. He was walking through his harvest, and he had sent these laborers through to pick a grain here and a grain there through the gospel to rub off that chaff of the old religion and with a religion of works, and to make them enter into the rest, the Sabbath of rest of the finished work of Christ, as he died for the sins of his people. So we'll stop there, and next time we find him teaching on the Sabbath again. Boy, he's an aggravating guy. And not only does he teach them on the Sabbath stuff that they couldn't understand, and he goes and heals another guy that's had a withered hand, and just no end to it. So we'll stop there. Thanks for your attention, and as always, my friends, be free.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Great study. Great study.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Let's see, Dwayne's.